My name is Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Katie Weaver has a story on the Westminster Dog Show. Gregory Stockel reports on displacement caused by conflict and natural disasters. Brian Lynn has the science report on smarter vehicles bringing changes to traffic signals. Later, Jill Robbins and Andrew Smith present the lesson of the day. But first,
a miniature poodle named Sage won the top prize Tuesday night at the 148th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. That is the 11th victory for poodles at the famous dog competition in New York City. Only wire fox terriers have won more times. Kaz Osaka is the handler for Sage. "No words," he said about Sage's win, and added, "So happy, exciting." He also was the handler of Spice when that miniature poodle won the 2002 Westminster. But Hosaka said this latest victory would be his final competition after 45 years. Hosaka said Sage gave a great performance for me. The black poodle won over six other dogs to take the best in show. Second place went to Mercedes, a German Shepherd. Others in the final round included Comet, a Shih Tzu, Monty, a giant Schnauzer, Lewis, an Afghan Hound, Micah, a black Cocker Spaniel, and Frankie, a colored Bull Terrier. While Sage was going around the competition ring, a protester interfered in the event. The protester carried a sign urging people to boycott breeders and tried to enter the ring. Security guards seized the activist. Police and the animal rights group PETA said three demonstrators were arrested. Rosalind Kramer, a judge at the event, called the final lineup excellent, glorious. Monty's handler and co-owner, Katie Bernadine, said, "Just to be in the ring with everyone else is an honor." Dogs first compete against others of their breed. Then the winner of each breed goes up against others in its group. The seven group winners meet in the final round. The best in show winner gets a trophy and a place in dog world history, but the prize does not include money. Besides the winners, other dogs were also popular with the crowd. A Legato Romagnolo named Harry made people laugh by sitting up and begging for a treat from his handler. And a Vizsla named Fletcher appealed to the crowd by jumping up on its handler after finishing a turn around the ring. There were also some very big dogs at the event. One was Ralphie, a Great Dane weighing 80 kilograms. His much smaller handler, Shane Gicetti, said it takes a lot of experience to show an animal so big. But she added, "If you have a bond with your dog and you just go with it, it works out." The Westminster Show dates to 1877 and centers on the traditional purebred judging that leads to the Best in Show prize. But over the last few years, the club has added agility and obedience events open to mixed breed dogs. I'm Katie Weaver.
Conflicts and natural disasters caused nearly 76 million people to be displaced within their countries, a migration research group says. The Internal Displacement Monitoring Center, or IDMC, said violence in Sudan, Congo, and the Middle East is driving two-thirds of new displacement. The Geneva-based IDMC released its report on May 14th. It found that the number of internally displaced people has increased 50% over the past 5 years. The number does not cover refugees, displaced people who flee to another country. The report deals with two major sets of information. It counted 46.9 million physical movements of people in 2023. Sometimes the people moved more than once. In most of those cases, the displaced people are expected to return. They are forced from their homes because of natural disasters like floods. The group also follows the number of people who were living away from their homes in 2023. Those include people still displaced from earlier years. That total is 75.9 million people at the end of last year. Half of those people were in countries south of the Sahara Desert in Africa. Jan Egeland is Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, which runs the research organization. He said the findings of the latest report are that the world is in a deep crisis. He said, "We have never, ever recorded worse figures for internal displacement by violence, by conflict, by persecution." Almost 90% of the total displacement was linked to conflict. About 10% was tied to the effects of natural disasters. The displacement of more than 9 million people in Sudan at the end of 2023 was a record for a single country since the center started collecting information 16 years ago. Sudan's conflict began in April 2023 as increasing tensions between the military and the rapid support forces broke out into open fighting. The group also reported on movements in Gaza. It said there were a total of 3.4 million movements in Gaza in the last 3 months of 2023. The activity followed the Israeli military reaction to the October 7th attacks on Israel by Gaza's Hamas rulers. Many people moved more than once within the territory, and all of the movements were counted. There are about 2.2 million people in Gaza. At the end of the year, 1.7 million people were displaced in Gaza. Director Alexandra Belock said the millions of people forced to flee in 2023 was the tip of the iceberg. She said there are tens of millions of displaced people from other conflicts, violence, and disasters. Supporters say the report's figures show the effects of conflict, climate change, and other factors on human movements. The United Nations Refugee Agency follows data on displacement across borders, but not within countries. And the UN Migration Agency follows all movements of people, including for economic or lifestyle reasons. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Researchers say the rise of more smart and connected vehicles on American roads could lead to big changes for traffic signals. The current U.S. traffic signal system has been in existence for more than 100 years. But experts are now studying ways to link technology-equipped vehicles to signal systems in an attempt to improve safety and traffic flows. One research effort is led by a team at North Carolina State University. Engineering professor Ali Hajbabayi is the leader of that research. He told the Associated Press one major change that signal systems could see is different colored lights. Most U.S. traffic signals currently include three lights to direct drivers at intersections: red, yellow, and green. But Hajbabayi said it might make sense to add a fourth color, possibly white. This color could inform motorists when there is a large collection of self-driving vehicles in a particular area. When many self-driving vehicles are present, the additional light would signal other drivers to follow the lead of those vehicles. When we get to the intersection, we stop if it's red and we go if it's green, said Hajbabayi. But if the white light is active, you just follow the vehicle in front of you. The North Carolina State team estimated that such changes are likely years away. Hajbabayi said one reason for this is because this kind of system would require between 40% to 50% of all vehicles on the road to be self-driving. Sandy Karp is a spokesperson for Waymo. Waymo is a self-driving vehicle company owned by Google's parent Alphabet. She told the AP that Waymo had already launched ride-sharing services that use full self-driving vehicles in Los Angeles, California, and Austin, Texas. Those services do not use a fourth traffic light. In an email to the AP, Karp said she thought it was good that researchers are currently thinking creatively about ways to change traffic light signals to improve safety and traffic flows. However, she said that officials and companies should think very carefully before deciding on and moving forward with major infrastructure changes. Researchers at the University of Michigan are also testing different methods. They have carried out a test program in an area outside the city of Detroit. Their research collects data on the speed and location of General Motors vehicles in the area. The data has been used to change the timing of city traffic lights in an effort to improve traffic flows. Henry Liu is a civil engineering professor at the University of Michigan. He helped lead the research. He said the launch of a new U.S. traffic system could be a lot closer than people think. Liu said that even with as few as 6% of vehicles connected to the GM system, there is still enough data to change the timing of the traffic lights enough to smooth traffic flows. The area near Detroit, where the testing is taking place, has 34 traffic signals. It was chosen because lights in the area are set to change at the same times each day. This is the case for more than half of traffic signals nationwide. These signals are not connected to cameras or sensors to watch traffic flows in real time. Liu noted that higher tech solutions will require cities to make complex and costly investments. The beauty of this is you don't have to do anything to the infrastructure, Liu said. The data is not coming from the infrastructure. It's coming from the car companies. Daniela Deneau is the Director of Traffic Safety at the Road Commission in Oakland County, Michigan. She said results of the University of Michigan research changed the timing of green lights only by a few seconds. However, Deneau added, even that was enough to improve traffic flows. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn is here now to talk more about his technology report. Thanks for joining me, Brian.
Of course. Glad to be here, Dan.
In this week's report, you looked at some ways U.S. traffic light systems could change as the number of self-driving cars grows. How likely are we to see any of these proposed changes in the near future?
So this issue was discussed by some researchers in the report, and most experts have also expressed the opinion that these kinds of changes will probably take years, maybe even many years, to be put into place. The main reason being that some of the suggested changes, such as adding an additional signal light, would require major infrastructure changes to a system that has existed in the U.S. for more than 100 years. However, it was also pointed out that if existing traffic lights can somehow be used with a new system, we could see changes within just a few years.
You also mentioned in the report that many signal lights in the U.S. are still not connected to data-gathering devices. Would these also have to be upgraded?
Yes, some of the researchers involved did address this issue, and they said that, yes, in order for signal lights to be able to react to real-time changes, they would need to be connected to data being collected in the field by cameras and sensors. So this is another upgrade that could also delay deployment and increase the cost of connecting smart vehicles to the current signal systems we have.
All right, Brian. Thanks again for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dan.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
In Lesson 34 of the series, Anna has a decision to make. She is trying to decide what costume to wear for Halloween, a popular tradition in the United States. A costume is a special set of clothes very different from what a person normally wears.
Halloween is celebrated on October 31st. People dress as monsters, ghosts, witches, or other scary creatures. They also dress as all kinds of other things, such as American football players, animals, and even objects such as a bottle of beer.
People can get very creative with their costumes. Let's listen and find out what costume Anna might decide to wear.
Hello. Halloween is very popular in the United States. Children trick or treat. They ask people for candy. Children and adults wear costumes and go to parties. In fact, there is a Halloween party tonight. I need my friend Jeannie. Jeannie! Hi!
Hi, Anna. What do you need?
Tonight, there is a Halloween party.
I love Halloween. Are you going?
I might go. I might not go. I don't have a costume. Can you help me?
Dress as a genie.
Great idea. I can do a genie trick, like read minds.
Anna, be careful. Things might go wrong.
What could go wrong?
You might guess that things will go wrong for Anna. A genie is a magical person with special powers. A genie can make people's wishes come true.
In English, we ask a genie to grant us our wish. To grant us our wish means to make our wishes come true. And in general, to grant something to someone means to give them something.
Anna thinks her genie costume might also give her the power to know what other people are thinking or read their minds. But then again, it might not. Anna sits outside with a sign. The sign has the words "Mind Reader" written on it. People see the sign and ask her about it. Let's listen.
Are you really a mind reader?
I might be.
Okay. Tell me what I'm thinking.
Sure. First, what do you do?
I study. I'm a junior in college.
What do you study?
I study journalism.
Okay. Wait. You are thinking you will graduate from college in about 1 year.
Well, yeah, that's the plan. I told you, I'm a junior in college.
Right. Wait, there's more. You are thinking you might get a job writing the news.
I might get a job writing the news? I might? That means I might not, and I'm studying really hard.
No. No, you will. You will get a job writing the news.
I will?
You will.
I will. I think.
Anna changed her statement from might to will to make the person feel better and more certain about her future.
Yes, but I'm not sure this person feels very certain she will get a job writing the news. It seems that Anna might not have the mind-reading powers she thought.
I think she will find out pretty quickly that her costume does not give her special powers.
The modal will expresses certainty about the future. We use it when we are sure something is going to happen.
And we use the expressions it could or it might when we are not sure something will happen. Something uncertain often depends on things we can't predict or know in advance.
To predict is to say what will happen in the future. When we predict, we make a prediction. A prediction is what we think will happen.
There are accurate and less than accurate predictions people make about the future.
Meteorologists are scientists who study the weather. They also make predictions about the weather. These predictions are called forecasts.
Thanks to computers, satellites, and other technology, weather forecasts these days are more accurate than they were in the past.
We can say that weather patterns, or kinds of weather that repeat, are predictable.
So we have the verb predict, the noun prediction, and the adjective predictable. And the adverb form is... predictably. Like Anna is predictably silly in these lessons.
That is a good example. Sports gambling is another area where people try to predict what will happen. When people gamble money or place bets on sporting events, they are also making predictions. If they make the correct prediction, they can win money.
But sometimes a bad prediction can end up costing them a lot of money.
Whether they make money depends on how the athletes play.
And these expressions, it depends and it depends on, are very common and useful in English.
Let's look more closely at these expressions. When we say it depends, we mean the results or predictions may be affected by other things or factors.
For example, whether or not your garden produces a lot of vegetables depends on factors such as the amount of rain or water, sunshine, temperature, and the condition of the soil or ground.
And notice that we use the preposition on after the verb depend. We often add a noun clause after the phrase, it depends on, like this example.
It depends on what kind of phone you have.
The noun clause is,
what kind of phone you have.
We can say it depends on this, or it depends on that, or it depends on plus a noun clause. Here's one more example with a noun clause. The noun clause in this example has four words.
It depends on how much you study.
Did you hear the noun clause? What are the four words? That's right, the noun clause is...
how much you study.
I think for people learning English, their success depends on how much they study and how well they study. Like if they use good methods or ways to improve their English.
That's right. And the free lesson plans that go with the Let's Learn English series give learners advice for ways to study. We call these learning strategies.
I predict these strategies will help the learners improve their English.
And I predict that you will make another prediction about Anna.
Ooh, my prediction is that Anna will change her costume to something else. Actually, that's not a prediction. I am certain she will change her costume because I've already seen Lesson 34 of the Let's Learn English series.
What costume does Anna change to? We hope you will watch Lesson 34 to find out. And remember that each lesson has a pronunciation practice video and a lesson plan you can download for free.
You can find that all on our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. Just go to the Beginner tab.
Remember that you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Dr. Jill.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.